Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, March 11th, 2014. We are already fast-forwarding the month to May. I'm sure there must be something interesting in May. Our, you know, producer is laughing at us here in the studio. But, you know, thank you, Zimbabwe, for joining us. Live from Washington, this is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to you on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Among our top stories this evening:
Zimbabwe is losing millions of dollars annually due to the importation of cheap clothes into the country. Parliament heard today. Players in the industry want the government to start protecting them.
We need the protection of those garments that are coming in. The 40% duty that is there at the moment is not our duty. We never lobbied for it. It is the SADC common external tariff. We need that there, certainly in the form going forward, to be protected, but it is not being controlled at the border.
A two-day workshop on the conservation of the country's remaining 750 rhino head opened in Harare today, with authorities reporting a reduction in the number of the extinct animals poached last year.
I attribute the actual slowdown on it is because of the people, because a lot of these animals have been put into safe areas and they're being guarded.
And five children aged between 10 and 13 from Goba village in Plumtree, Matabeleland South, who went missing yesterday afternoon and were feared dead after attempting to cross the flooded rivers, are found safe and sound.
Zimbabwe is losing millions of dollars annually due to the importation of cheap clothes into the country. Parliament heard today, with players in the industry calling on urgent government measures to curb imports they say are also evading duty, prejudicing the treasury. Ivan Chifera has more from the capital.
Players in the clothing industry told Parliament's Industry and Commerce Portfolio Committee they are facing unfair competition from cheap imports from China and Dubai, adding 90% of these shipments are coming into the country duty-free. As a result, the Zimbabwean clothing industry says it is failing to compete, raising the need for the government to protect them. Zimbabwe Clothing Manufacturers Association Chairman Jeremy Newman said most of the imports are not paying duty due to under-invoicing in quantities and value, abuse of trade agreements, and corruption, among other reasons. He said Zimbabwe is realizing only a fraction of the $120 million it is supposed to get in duty revenue.
If we were significantly above the international price, there wouldn't be a great motivation to cheat on the duty. But up to 90% of the clothing into this country comes in without paying the correct duty. That is estimated at our current market size at about $300 million worth, so we're missing out on approximately $120 million worth of revenue simply by it not being controlled.
Human said the industry can compete fairly if those clothes imports pay duty and correct government levies.
We need the protection of those garments that are coming in. The 40% duty that is there at the moment is not our duty. We never lobbied for it. It is the SADC common external tariff. We need that there, certainly in the form going forward, to be protected, but it is not being controlled at the border. And that is not just because of Zimra. It is our own colleagues and our own fellow businessmen and our own friends who are cheating the same system, either through under-invoicing in quality and value, abuse of the trade agreements, which was referred to. The SADC trade protocol has got an enormous weakness in it, and that the certificate of origin, there is no authentication on the signature. The driver of the truck can fill out the certificate of origin. So there is no accountability there.
He said the industry, which is currently producing 25% of the country's demand, could increase production to 75% with enough support from the government. Human said the industry strongly supports the Buy Zimbabwe campaign, adding the culture of importing instead of local sourcing is hurting industry in general in the country.
As I said before, there is nothing that the government orders or buys that we cannot manufacture in this country. There are some things that still need to be imported into Zimbabwe, we all accept. But we can manufacture everything. And I do not believe that Zimra should be walking around in poly wool suits. I don't see why they can't walk around in cotton suits that can be made from Zimbabwean cotton.
Besides protecting the industry, Human said government must provide a $2 million facility to enhance productivity in the industry, as well as a $5 million facility for distressed companies to source capital equipment and raw materials at competitive prices. At its peak, the clothing manufacturing industry employed 35,000, but now only boasts a small complement of 6,800 workers. The Zimbabwe Textiles Manufacturers Association also said they are facing serious competition from cheap imports and are calling on the government to protect them. Association Secretary General Raymond Wuni told the committee that many companies have closed down since 2000, adding more would close if there is no immediate intervention from the government. Committee Chairman Ray Kaukonde said his committee will work with the government and industry to find solution to problems affecting the cotton industry. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
A two-day workshop on the conservation of the country's remaining 750 rhino head opened in Harare today, with authorities reporting a reduction in the number of the extinct animals poached last year. Parks and Wildlife Management Authority head for Management Services Jeffrey Matipano says poachers killed 20 rhino last year compared to 60 the previous year. Zimbabwe has only 450 black rhino and 300 white rhino, a stark increase from 1980 when it had more than 2,000 rhino. Though Zimbabwe recorded a significant decline in poaching, the same cannot be said about South Africa, where it went up by about 50%. More than 1,000 rhino were poached in South Africa last year, and its current population stands at an estimated 25,000.
Until the late 1960s, the black rhinoceros was relatively plentiful in Africa, but between 1970 and 1994, black rhinos suffered a 95% decline. Experts say no other mammal population in Africa has crashed so spectacularly. The cash-strapped Zimbabwean government has tried many different rhino protection approaches, including banning trade in rhino horn, dehorning live animals, forming anti-poaching units, satellite tracking, and creating heavily patrolled areas called intensive protection zones. All have met with only or limited, in other cases, almost no success. Chairman of the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force, Johnny Rodriguez, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that more work needs to be done on the conservation efforts.
I attribute the actual slowdown on it is because of the people, because a lot of these animals have been put into safe areas and they're being guarded much better than they did before.
But is it still a problem?
Well, it still is a problem. I mean, as long as you've got a rhino and there's a market, the people will still try and get out of there, get in there and try and take these animals out. You know, the thing is, people have to be vigilant all the time. You can't let your guard down, because if you do, the scenario will escalate again, and it's a normal problem.
Do we as a country have enough resources to take care of these wild animals, which are almost extinct?
No. As you know, the parks are struggling. I mean, there's no tourism in coming to Zimbabwe. So, yeah, the national parks are actually struggling to keep on going and surviving because, you know, it's a big issue at the moment because, you know, there's no tourists. They've got no income coming in, and that's where the problem comes in.
We also understand that in South Africa, more than 1,000 rhinos were killed, which is like a 50% jump from the previous year. What is your take on this?
Well, the thing is, you mustn't forget that South Africa has got about, I think, 17 or 18,000 rhino. Because they widespread all over the show, and it is a big problem, you know, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, you know, until they're really enforced. And I mean, like now, they're putting pesticide in certain areas into the horn, so anybody digests that, they're going to die. So I believe that's the only way you're going to fight the rhino, you know, by putting signs wherever there's rhino and sort of saying, please, if you digest or part of selling the horn, you are going to face certain death.
That was Chairman Johnny Rodriguez of the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force speaking with Blessing Zulu from Harare.
And now send you to some kind of good news. Now, five children aged between 10 and 13 from Goba village in Plumtree, Matabeleland South, who went missing yesterday afternoon and were feared dead after attempting to cross the flooded Moza and Simotsi rivers on their way from Maqhege in primary school, were found safe this afternoon. Most villagers are now urging the government to build a school in the village to curb such incidents. Police have since cancelled plans to send a rescue team to search for the children in the two rivers. One of the parents, Solani Moyo, who had feared for his daughter's life, says the children held hands so they would not be swept away while crossing the Goba River yesterday. However, they realized they could not cross the second river, Simotsi, and decided to walk for more than 4 kilometers along the river bank until they came across an isolated village where they were offered shelter. Goba villagers who were still searching for the children braved to cross the Simotsi River and found them safe this afternoon. Moyo tells reporter Sitandekile Mhlanga villagers abandoned work in the fields and joined affected families to offer their support and were overwhelmed with emotion at the sight of the children.
Yesterday, kids they went to school. Afternoon, the rain started raining and they went back home. When they were going home, they found that there's a big river that called the Moza. They find that it is full. Then now they want to go back to school. The other one, only maybe between the, I think I can say, 3 kilometers to school, also they were full. That is telling the teachers and they were going all over trying to find out where the kids are. Since morning until this time, there's a problem between where those kids stay to school. There's long distance, something like 7 kilometers away. And we have a problem since 1976 where they were starting to build a school. This school that is near where the kids are staying and there's no river around. That is the center of the place where there's a village where there's some, I would say maybe 250 houses around. They don't have a school. And now from now, when we look on the map of Bulilima South, in Bulilima East, the school is there, is registered as Goba Primary School, but there's no school that is there. In the government, people were trying to build a school, they can't afford to build a school. We ask those researchers, the people that they can help the parents to build a school, because there's no school. And the other thing again, the rivers, there's no bridge that they can even build a bridge.
When the children were found, how were they received? What was the atmosphere like?
And the police said they would try to phone Blawayo to find those people that they would come and try to check them from the water, because all of us were thinking that they went to the water. After they found the kids, I can tell you that everyone they were crying because of that. They think that those kids are still alive.
And that was Solani Moyo, one of the parents of children who were feared dead on the line from Plumtree. Floods have ravaged some parts of the country, especially Maswingo in Cholocho, where Governor Kane Matema confirmed one child drowned.
Meanwhile, Chris, the Zimbabwe Red Cross says it will this week visit victims of the Tokwe Mkosi flooding to reassess their situation following reports of inadequate housing facilities for the affected. Over 2,500 families were provided with a temporary shelter by the government and donor agencies, but Mazaruse of the Red Cross says some of the tents are failing to protect the villagers from the rains that have been falling in the past week. Mazaruse speaks with Studio 7's Mavelas Mtlanganyawie.
What we have realized is that the tents which we provided are, of course, for a temporary measure. And for those in the family tents, of course, they are okay. But there are some who we provided with tarpaulin, and those are actually late in rain. And even the rains that flow on the ground, sometimes it finds itself into those tarpaulin. So we are realizing that there's a challenge with regards to safe accommodation for the victims. And we are encouraging members of the community to actually donate to us permanent structures for the victims.
Those who would like to donate, what would you advise them to do?
Our advice is that for those who want to donate, they must provide materials like, you know, corrugated iron sheets, asbestos, poles, and cement for structures that can at least provide cover for the affected victims. And as Red Cross, of course, we have got centers around Zimbabwe. And we are actually calling on members of the public to go through these centers and hand in whatever donations they have. Government has also called, you know, for donations through the CPU, and members of the public can also approach the relevant offices so that whatever support comes through is actually directed to Chingwizi, where the victims are housed.
Do you have any idea as to the numbers of people that are actually affected and need urgent housing?
From our assessments and statistics, a total of 2,514 households with an average of 7 family members is affected, and I think roughly that figure amounts to 21,000 people. So it's quite a big number. And in terms of requirements like food, shelter, there's quite a lot.
That was Red Cross spokesman Tecmo Mazeruse speaking with Studio 7's Mavelas Mhlanganyahui from Harare.
Some Gwanda residents have clashed with a local councillor who recently started upgrading roads with a dumped mine waste believed to be containing asbestos dust, which causes cancer-related diseases. One of the affected residents of Senondo Sebab is former Mayor Lionel Dineka, who says they have ordered Ward 9 councillor Tavani Moyo to remove the mine waste. Dineka says what worries them most is that one of the roads leading to Senondo Primary School with hundreds of children has been upgraded using the same material obtained from an old mine outside the provincial capital. He speaks to Studio 7's Gibbs Dube about the dangers of the old mine waste.
What worries us as residents is that one, there is no council resolution on that particular gravel, because council would not have resolved, because council refused to use that gravel during the National Youth Games and also on other roads that council has condemned, because the gravel is not suitable, first of all, for road construction. And secondly, it has traces of asbestos, which we know the side effects of that particular chemical. So at the end of the day, we are wondering where the councillor got the go-ahead. Did council issue a tender? Because he's not using council employees. He's practically using his own guys. He's using his own transport construction vehicles to actually pour and spread this particular gravel.
So now, which disused mine are you talking about here?
We are talking about Chinden Mine. It's called Chinden Mine, which is slightly in the outskirts of Gwanda.
And what was mined there?
The mine was shut down many years back. Nothing is being done. It's asbestos that was coming out from that particular mine.
So what are the fears about this asbestos dust? What can happen?
Well, it's known worldwide, the side effects of asbestos. It causes cancer, it causes TB. There are many, and it's actually very difficult to trace and treat the particular cancer that is caused by this asbestos. It's been condemned worldwide, and its usage has been reduced drastically in most of these countries. So we don't understand why then council, which we know had refused to use the product before, is allowing this particular councillor to actually spread this amongst the community.
And that was former Gwanda Mayor Lionel Dineka speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. Councillor Moyo refused to comment. Doctors say asbestos dust causes a lung cancer called mesothelioma.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930-5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
In regional and international news,
the head of Interpol says that the disappearance of a Malaysian passenger jet does not appear to be related to terrorism. Interpol Secretary General Ronald Noble says new information about two Iranian men who used stolen passports to board the plane makes terrorism a less likely explanation for the jet's disappearance.
Libya's parliament has ousted the nation's prime minister in a no-confidence vote after a North Korean-flagged tanker that illegally loaded crude oil at the rebel-held eastern port reportedly reached international waters.
Ousted Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych blamed his opponents today for Crimea's moves to break away from Ukraine and said he remains the country's president and commander-in-chief.
Chief Nemakonde of Makonde District in Zwimba is under fire for confiscating property from villagers failing to pay school fees for their children. Arthur Achigoriwa has more details.
In a rare case that involves school development councils, SDCs, in Makonde district, Chief Nemakonde has been taking villagers' property to force parents to settle outstanding school fees and levies their own schools in his area. At a meeting held at Biri Primary School on the 17th of January 2013, parents agreed to settle their outstanding fees at the end of the agricultural season, agreeing the chief should confiscate their property if they failed to do so. The meeting was convened by parents after realizing that some parents were resisting paying school fees and levies, with some going for years without paying a single cent. But some parents dismissed the confiscation of their property as illegal, saying the chief doesn't have that jurisdiction, adding they were not party to the illegal agreement. Villager David Monala, who owes the school $125, says he is against the involvement of the chief in recovering the fees, as he lost his property, including a plow and a television set.
Someone signed for me indicating that I attended the meeting, but I didn't agree for the chief to take my property. That includes a plow, radio, bicycle and a table. The school development members and a few parents whose children are paid under PIM signed a petition which was sent to the chief.
Another villager, widow Ananya Sanza of Village 4 in Portlet, said she lost a bicycle, radio, table and utensils because she owes the school $94 in levy arrears. What if the most is that her goods were greatly undercharged.
Radio, bicycle, ne table, ne gejo, ne...
They took radio, bicycle and a table. They took many things because I was not around, and they undercharged our goods like radio. They charged it $10 instead of $40.
Although Nyasanza agreed that she owed the school money, she promised to pay once she sold her tobacco later next month. She said the chief's aides would not hear any of it. Elderman Jacob Mukusha says it is not the chief's jurisdiction to get involved in school matters. Mukusha says the chief should deal with the issues to do with marital problems, spirit mediums, and other traditional matters.
The chief must not have intervened in school matters. He must deal with marital problems and spirit medium issues. I've never seen a chief meddling in school issues like what he's doing. Schools are under the government.
When Studio 7 visited the area, they saw Biri Primary SDC Vice Chairman Tsitsi Zarima helping the chief's aides to confiscate villagers' property with a scorecard card. Zarima said parents have been refusing to pay school fees even when they can afford, especially as villagers in the area are known for producing tobacco and the staple maize. Zarima said confiscation is the only language the villagers understand. This was buttressed by Mukusha, who said parents should work hard for their children, and that includes sending them to school.
Parents should try to pay school and levy fees, as it is their duty to send their children to school. If the situation is that bad, at least they should do small jobs like working in the fields for a fee.
But other villagers complain that SDC's members who are on the forefront do not have children still learning at the school. Another Village 2 villager, Mdumeni Magusa, blamed the local Member of Parliament Kindness Paradza for promising to pay the fees during his campaign but disappeared when he was voted.
He volunteered to pay fees for some children he can afford if BIM is failing to cater for all the needy children and then other donors cater for the remainder.
But Parada said he did not promise to pay the outstanding fees for villagers, but to help schools to recover the money. A teacher at Biri School, who refused to be identified as she is not allowed to speak to the media, said the school doesn't even have chalk, adding no improvement has been recorded at the school because parents are refusing to pay.
There is nothing we can do because the parents are not paying. We can't even afford to buy chalk to use at the school.
National and West Education Ministry Director Sylvester Mashayamombe said as long as the child is not sent back home and the teachers are not directly involved, the ministry will not intervene as the parents are said to have agreed to the action being taken by the chief. Biri School has about 500 pupils and is owed about $22,000 in fees arrears as of this month. School children are required to pay $13 per term for school levy, an amount agreed on by parents at an annual general meeting. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Zimbabwe is losing millions of dollars. I beg your pardon. Let's go first, to the story about simmering differences within the MDCT. That's intra-party civil war threatening the position of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai. He's expected to hold a rally in Bulawayo on Saturday, where he's expected to urge unity and take aim at those calling for him to resign. Tsvangirai has recently addressed similar rallies in Chitungisa and Mavuku, urging those that are disgruntled with his leadership to leave the party. Tensions within the MDC exploded a few weeks ago when Deputy Treasurer Elton Mangoma told Mr. Tsvangirai to resign and call a special congress to pick new leadership. MDCT Deputy Spokesman Joe Gabuza speaks to reporter Ntungamili Nkomo about Mr. Tsvangirai's message to Bulawayo supporters.
You see the president of the MDC holding rallies in Harare and in Stringi. So those are part of the rallies that is going, meeting the structures and assuring them that the party is still in touch. There are no issues besides what we read in the newspapers. I know exaggerated and meeting for me. Otherwise, the president is just shaping up the way forward and assuring members that the party is still ticking and as united as we always do. We'll continue to work towards a democratic Zimbabwe. So that's basically the message that the president is going to use.
Are these meetings a response to the tensions and disagreements that we are seeing manifesting in the party?
Well, the tension that she's talked about is more in the newspapers than anything else. We are clearly agreed on the Mangoma issue, that Mangoma's demise was not because it brought up different views from the general to the public in the MDC. His issue was to the fact that he was not supposed to be conducting interviews with the newspapers about those particular issues. Democracy requires that anybody can bring up issues for discussion on the table, but not in the newspapers. These charges, the issue that he was able to have interviews with private and public media about issues of the party. And so that effect, the party felt discrediting and was indeed discrediting the name of the party and putting it into disrepute.
That was MDCT Deputy Spokesman Joe Gabuza on the line with Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo.
Industry Minister Mike Bima is expected to visit a new Zimbabwe steel in Redcliffe tomorrow, where he is going to meet more than 40 workers who have gone for months without pay. The Studio 7's Gibbs Dube spoke to Benedict Moyo, who is the chairman of the ZISCO Steel Joint Workers Unions.
To us, it's good news. He is coming to ZISCO for the first time to address the plight of the company and more importantly, of the workers. We are assuming and hoping that when he comes, as we have always religiously lived on hope on this issue, that is going to address our debt pay, our salaries, basically our welfare, address those retirees that are not getting their pensions, and importantly address the issue of school-going children, that is school fees, examination fees, and those that take loans from the banks, etc. All that is addressed. Right now, as we speak in Redcliffe, the municipality has closed the water for Redcliffe, Toad, and Rutendo houses because we cannot pay the bills. So we are hoping that all those things will be addressed when it comes.
Now, looking at the situation at ZISCO Steel as it is right now, do you think that really is going to address your problems?
Look, for the past 8 or so months, the minister has always said that things are going to work out well, but he has never been here on the ground. So we're saying he cannot just come to look at our faces. I mean, our faces are already very lean, very thin, because we are hungry.
That was Benedict Moyo, chairman of the ZISCO Steel Joint Workers Unions, speaking to Gibbs Dube of Studio 7 from Redcliffe.
Now we recap today's top stories.
Zimbabwe is losing millions of dollars annually due to the importation of cheap clothes into the country. Parliament heard today, and players in the industry want the government to start protecting them.
And a two-day workshop on the conservation of the country's remaining rhino population opened in Harare today, with authorities reporting a reduction in the number of the extinct animals poached last year.
And five children aged between 10 and 13 from Goma village in Plumtree were suspected to have